Hi there, welcome to Between Players. My name is Zach, and today I got the great chance to interview one of my good friends and colleagues in web development, Mr. Dave Rupert, who is also a fantastic podcaster at his show, Shop Talk. I want to first thank everyone for taking the time to listen to the audio show. We're working really hard to bring you a perspective that fits more with a concerned appreciator and less a critical journalist. Like the audience that I try to represent in the show, I work full-time. Plus, I do a little bit of contracting. I love going to the movies and brewing beer. And of course, I love playing games. But these activities all require the same element, the same resource in order to act upon them. And Gollum once phrased it as this thing that all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Molds iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins towns, and beats the highest mountains down. Time. And games can ask a lot of it. Sometimes it's really easy to fall into that comfortable stream of the interesting hook or mechanic or plot in the game that you're playing, and the hours just fly by you. Today we're going to explore two parts of this. One, taking time for games, and two, the games that take it from us. Besides being a great web developer, Dave is also a game player, and he's actually an amateur game maker. In the description notes for this episode, I've linked to his most recent multiplayer creation, which is a totally fantastic take on Missile Command, if you have ever played that. Games are an investment of your time. Early titles on the NES or Genesis had you locked in for maybe a few hours. You could set it down, come back, and nothing really seemed all that pressing. The only console games that had a huge time commitment were role-playing games of the Japanese variety. One of the reoccurring things or perspectives on this podcast is that both myself and the person that I'm interviewing are casual enthusiasts. In the past, or our early gaming career, we'd be considered extremely dedicated gamers, sacrificing long hours, personal obligations to play PlayStation or Nintendo without a second thought. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had time. But then just after college, we picked up our careers, some new hobbies, maybe a life partner, or started a family. And all those things, these new obligations, got in front of our game time. We all still, of course, really want to play the newest titles and dive deep and build awesome gaming PCs with our hard-earned cash and rumble on Xbox with our old buddies and find new ones once or twice a week. And with Steam sales and Humble Bundle and the like, our video game vaults are filled with titles, and there's nowhere near enough time for us to go through those and play what's new. So how do we choose? According to the U.S. Census in July 2015, Millennials make up the largest quotient. We are a group that was born from 1977 to about 2000. And though there's not a universal agreement about this scope or name, there are more than 80 million of us. So we have jobs, we have some cash, and we grew up playing video games. But what we don't have is time. So let's dive in with Dave. Dave is a fellow web person. He has some internet fame. So if you're listening to this, it's probably because you're a fan of Dave's and not necessarily a fan of mine. And the reason he's on the show today is because, like me, Dave is, enthusiast is the right word. I've been trying to push that word, that fake word, pro-casual, but I realized that there's nothing necessarily professional about us in our gaming. We're just hyper excited.
I like the term. Enthusiast is probably right. I also use are you familiar with the term like sex positive?
Sex positive? So we're game positive?
Game positive.
All right.
I consider myself game positive.
Or maybe I should just adopt that and allow pro casual to, slowly deteriorate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, breaking the fourth wall here, but I think a few weeks ago you told me this idea of pro casual, and I like it. I think that describes what I want to be. I want to play all these cool games. I watch Overwatch Twitch streams endlessly, but it's like I can't. Like, I don't have the time. You know, it looks so great, but man, I'm just limited in like how I can budget my time, and so I want to be MLG. I want right. to like pwn noobs in a fancy chair. Why do they all have fancy chairs? But I want to like,
I think it improves their performance. I think it posture. Does. Yeah, yeah. Posture. Posture is important. If you're like crouched.
No, in you between need like a racing seat.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're sitting on a Lego building in your living room, you're not going to get play the game in Overwatch. I'll put it that way.
No, no, not on a bad chair. But I like the idea of pro casual just because it is. I'm an enthusiast, I guess, a hardware enthusiast, a software enthusiast, I read all the pubs, the tech rags, the game right. rags. You know,
you stay hip. Your ear is to the lava flow of game information and pop culture.
Yeah, and not the most savvy person, I'm sure, at all. But it is. I like it. It's probably one of my biggest hobbies. But I can't play at the level.
Right. So why don't you unpack that thing about time? So the whole premise that you have like this hourglass of sand to spend, essentially. Mm-hmm. Can you articulate like how much time realistically you get to spend playing a video game?
Yeah, sure. So I'll just walk through a day.
Sure.
Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Six-ish, kids wake up. Okay, I'm up. We're watching cartoons at 7, eating breakfast, making breakfast, getting kids, convincing children, young children to put on clothes takes a good half hour. Sure. So you're doing all that. And then, I work from home. So thankfully I don't have like a huge commute. So about 9 o'clock, I walk over to my office, which is a pretty cool outdoor shed. I work until about 6, just straight. So then we, get the kids bathed, read books, do bedtime. Kids are probably all done and asleep. Everyone's asleep by 9. Because I don't commute, I have no like decompression time here. It's like switch on, switch off.
Okay.
So my wife has worked all day taking care of kids. And so she's tired. And there's kind of like a 50-50 chance she'll exit the room after the kids are right. being put to sleep. Or sometimes she'll just fall asleep, which is, I think, common among new parents and newborns and everything. I think it's sort of like a, you just don't know. I mean, like you could have a lot of energy until you put your head down and then you're just like, oh, I go to bed now. Mm-hmm. The other day I went to bed at 8:45 and I had no shame. I just was like, peace, bye, 8:45. I've woken up at 6. It's now 8 o'clock at night, maybe kind of inching towards 9. I have about 2 good hours until I need to
absolutely be asleep.
But then you kind of like wait up to see if your partner's going to come out, and maybe you can talk or just watch TV together kind of mindlessly, like kind of recharge and connect. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And when that doesn't happen, it's like, oh, well, I guess I could play a game. So now I got like a hour and a half window or something, you know, the window keeps shrinking. So what do I do? That's kind of been my struggle, I guess.
From the way you've described it, your other hobby previous to Dave's current life was like either work in games or school in games, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think my life could like be defined in like by consoles, basically. Okay. It's like the NES.
Yeah.
80% of my free time and like 100% of my weekends with my friend Ryan. Like we just play everything until we hit like kill screens and Rygar and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then like
truly dedicated.
Yeah. I mean, just like mind bending amounts of gaming. And then we, then my brother and I sold our Nintendo and we got TurboGrafx-16.
Oh,
I played a lot of Monk's Adventure, and then got a SNES.
Mm-hmm.
That was like Mortal Kombat, Super Mario, and like I played that way too long.
Mm-hmm.
And that occupied a lot of time. And then there was like N64, which kind of got me into college, and that was GoldenEye and all that. And then after that, I actually lived in Japan, picked up a GameCube and a PSP and a DS.
Because you can.
Yeah, well, it's like when I was living in Japan, DS was the highest selling console in all of Japan.
Oh, wow. So okay, yeah.
I think there were like 150 million DSs sold in Japan.
Okay.
And there's only 127 million Japanese.
Right.
So it's sort of like, wow, I think everyone has like two. So it's kind of like a very like social thing. Like everyone had one and you just kind of, so, you know, I played a lot of games there, did a lot of stuff there, and then came back to the States. The Wii came out. I'm a very Nintendo loyalist, but that's kind of actually changed. But played a lot of, you know, Zelda and Mario Kart. That's kind of my jams. And then got married. And that's kind of the turning point.
What console is marriage?
Wii.
So Wii was mid, the console. Okay.
Mid-cycle of the Wii. but my wife is... she's fine with games, and we actually would play Dr. Mario, and she, like, very addicted, like being social, but I think in her mindset, like, games tend to be sort of isolated, you know, especially like shoot 'em ups and everything. It's kind of like, because it is, if I'm honest, you know. Yeah. I want to be like game positive, but it's kind of isolating, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, it's cool talking to you, but I'm going to leave. And like early in a marriage, like that's kind of like not a cool thing to do. You want to do things together. So we tried to play, you know, things and games that were together. And I think that was kind of like a very, I don't know, foundational part of getting to know each other and stuff. I found out my wife is very, very competitive, which also might be why she doesn't like to play a lot of games. But eventually we got rid of the Wii because I was playing, what was it, Zelda Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I love Zelda. I played it for like 6 hours and I'd only beaten like two dungeons. And I was like, oh my God, this has like six more dungeons and two more bad guy boss battles. And I'm never going to finish this. Like it's like 72 hours like of
hour,
game.
Yeah. Hour and a half every... What would you say your average week?
Oh, I mean, yeah, well, that's...
Like number of points of content. Is it like once a week, twice a week?
It's maybe twice on a good week.
Let's talk about a couple examples of games you felt like your time invested was good and the game also respected your time. And then we'll talk about like an example of you were like disappointed that you had invested, basically.
Mm. One game that I'm playing is The Long Dark. It's in beta right now.
Mm-hmm.
This game hits all my buttons.
It is a survival game, isn't it?
Survival game. Kind of horror or post-apocalypticus. Yes. Post-apocalyptic survival game. Set in Canada. So some nights I'm just like, I'm going to go to Canada. Your big thrillers are bears and wolves. Those are kind of
the apex predators that are coming for you.
Yeah. So you wake up, you have nothing, you like kind of collect some things, and then you have to kind of like just survive. And it's a game to see how long you can survive. And they've added a kind of a challenge mode too, where you have to like go from point A to point B to point C in like a certain number of days in the game, which is like, ends up.
How about how long is a game day in The Long Dark?
About, I want to say about 30 minutes or so to an hour.
So it's a pretty big.
Yeah.
It's a pretty decent chunk.
It's a pretty decent chunk, but the kind of like.
I assume you've played. I apologize to interrupt, but I assume you played like Minecraft or maybe Gone Home.
Yeah.
And they also have like a day meter and stuff like that, but they're much more rapid. They're like 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah. This one's pretty long, like, because you kind of like walk across a tundra for quite a while. And so. The challenges are like you have to keep your body temperature, you have to keep your hunger, you have to keep your thirst, you have to manage your health, your tiredness, and the tireder you get, the heavier your backpack gets. Hmm. And then it's like you're managing weight, and then you also like can like get everything set up. You wake up, you know, like after in-game sleeping, and you like wake up and you head out the door, and then boom, it's a blizzard. So the weather's totally randomized too. So it's this really neat, like, it just clicks on all levels for me. So I really like The Long Dark. And what's cool about it is I can just kind of play a little bit and bail out. So, like, I can play and then, you know, it's sort of like, I'm just going to see how far I can get or see what, you know, try to explore an area I've never been to or something. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat because you like are really exploring, you know, like this huge open world. I mean, it's bigger than GTA, or it's like GTA, but you don't have cars, so you have to like walk the whole map. So it's kind of neat. I recommend that. So that's been a game that's worked out really well for me. Just it's like I don't have to, you know, like there aren't other people playing, so like no one's just gonna like jump out and kill me like in Rust. I downloaded Rust because I thought, oh, this is the game I want. It's like survive from nothing. This is the game I want. But then it turned out to be like Minecraft, like high def Minecraft with like other people who just murder you. And I was like, this is not the game I want.
So you're playing Long Dark on Steam, I assume?
No, on Xbox.
Oh, on Xbox. So it gives you an hour log, right? Like how many hours have you been able to file away into Long Dark-ish?
Lots. I mean, over time, it's been lots. And that's the game, you know, I'll start at 9 or whatever, and then I'm up till 2. And that's a total mistake and bad for everybody. You
pay for it the next day.
I pay for it. But it's also kind of like you got to let yourself do that every once in a while. That's sort of the but it's but man, it hits everything. So
Long Dark, Forza, so you haven't brought up mobile games very much yet, but like those account for like in between times you're like waiting in line at the bank or you know.
Yeah, I have a something like that storied past with mobile games.
What was your biggest time sink on a mobile game?
So this is the time sink is Clash of Clans.
Okay.
I was in a clan with my brother and my nephew and my brother-in-law. And
so you had like actual human beings that you love and know. Communal.
Yeah. Were you in the clan for a little bit?
I was for a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
I am one of those people that will play one of those games for about 2 weeks really aggressively.
Yeah.
And then just all of a sudden, like, my interest.
When you hit the gem cliff, we'll call it. Where, like,
the Star Wars game is the same way. Fun. The battle something or
Commander
other.
Commander, whatever,
I didn't mind running out of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you only want me to take a certain number of turns a day, basically, is what they're telling me.
Yeah.
But I hated that it used a real-time timer to force me to wait for things.
Right.
And it never really, like, I know they do it in Clash of Clans and some of the other ones, but it never really dawned on me as much as when I was, like, it said, like, you have to wait 20 hours for your, like, 20 my hours. Not 20 game hours.
But, like, 20 human
people hours.
And that's what I got to, like, level 9 Town Hall, which is pretty big, but not insane. And I was in that situation. It was like, I know how long it takes to like get 1,000,000 gold in this game. You know, I can do like 1,000,000 a night if I like hustle and raid and like just like go Smash. Hard for a night.
Now you're playing all for free, right?
Or are you investing? Playing for free. I have a very strict don't give them money policy.
Okay.
So I wish I was a little looser, but I very strict don't give them money policy. But I, you know, I could like hustle and get 1,000,000 gold in like a day, and then I would get raided, lose a third of that. And so like you're doing the math, and then you need like 6 million to do like to buy a cannon or upgrade a cannon for 6 million gold. And then so that took me, you know, if you're doing the math, like 10 or 12 days to reach, right?
Okay.
Of hustling. So I'm hustling on a daily dumb basis phone again. Game. Yeah. For 12 days to buy an in-game cannon. And I have 5 cannons. And I'm just like, I'm done. This is wasting too much time. Another game, which is good and maybe not as like malicious, is Threes.
Oh, yeah.
Love Threes.
Threes is wonderful.
A guy I know through tech, David DeSandro, he's like a Threes wizard. Like, he's gotten like the high one.
What?
And so he'll like post videos of him getting these there's a Threes porn account on Twitter, and it's just people like playing Threes, like getting high scores. And I was like, I want to be that. I want to do that. I can do that. If I just challenge myself, I can do that. I'll be a pro, whatever.
A pro threes player.
Pro threes player. And I did. Oh, I played so much. And then it turns into every idle minute you're playing, you're just trying to squeeze in. It's like cigarette smoking or something. You're just like, can't even be bored. You're like in it immediately, you know? And so that kind of started bothering me. So that's the thing with game, these free to play games, especially, is like you're like, okay, this is great. This is addictive. This is fun. Oh man, it's just occupying too much of my time. Like, it's so greedy.
On the subject of like it occupying your time, or you allowing something to occupy your time, when do you feel like the guilt threshold hits where you're like, yeah, that 3 hours of threes could have been better spent X.
Yeah.
When it goes from being something that is nurturing and gives you decompression and gives you like gratification in a lot of ways, where do you feel like that cliff is?
I remember playing Warcraft like 2 or 3.
World of Warcraft?
Or just
Warcraft.
Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like Warcraft. You like build these cities. Again, it's the same kind of concept. Mm-hmm. You like build these towns and you build these armies and you go out. And I remember one time I was playing it, and this happens like every time I play it, I like didn't have a good save point. That's my fault. I play a 3 hour match and I just lose, and I have nothing to show for my 3 hours.
Okay.
And I'm not happy. I didn't enjoy it because I just got slaughtered, you know. Mm-hmm. I think those moments are what like break the game for me. It is like I put in all this time and I have nothing to show for it. Or like, and maybe that's the risk and reward, but like when you don't have much time to play,
every free moment means that much more.
Yeah. Like 3 hours to lose in Warcraft, like in a single player mission. Like that's the one night a week I'm probably going to play games, and it's
a total letdown.
Yeah. Totally gone. I can't just restart. I'm like done.
You don't think of the iPhone games as necessarily like a, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, yeah, obviously they are like a vampire in a sense, but like when you were playing them, you didn't really feel like it was necessarily a bad thing. What, like, can you articulate a game that was like, you played it and you're like, this is terrible. Everything about this is bad. It's like, it is robbing me of my free time and it really betrays time for me.
Biggest criminal.
I have a great example, but it involves a pet peeve.
You do your example, and then I want to, because I'm thinking of games that, like, there's plenty of games that just like, oh, that was absolutely not gratifying or something, but like trying to think of like the one that like robbed me. But what's your story?
And mine comes down to the mechanic of using real time to represent game time. In Dragon Age, Inquisition.
Slayers of the Mind.
Dragon Age, Slayers of the Mind, much better title. Dragon Age Inquisition, it's the usual action RPG stuff, but it had this thing called the War Table, and then the War Table was essentially like this faux strategy where you could place troops on different points on the map. And by placing them there, they would accomplish some mission. So they'd either bring back a resource or make a political connection, or, you know, you only had three of these sort of NPC markers that you moved around that represented these different factions. So one of them was like your man at arms, you know, army will fix everything. Diplomacy will fix everything. And the third person was deception will fix everything. Mm-hmm. And each of them had a different time limit for stuff. And it was real hours. Like, so like you'd have to set up your gameplay flow to be like, I'm going to sign in. I'm going to move them around on the war table first. And then I'm going to go take my group of people and go do something so that in the 2 to 3 hours that it needs to
execute its like
bullshit in the background, when I'm done playing, those are finished. Right.
Yeah. So you had to kind of like stage.
Yeah, stage what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And they built this concept from the Mass Effect games. In the third Mass Effect, they had a very similar mechanic. But instead of instead of it being time-based, it was just mission-based. Every time you played a mission and come back, your war table would have upgraded. Something would, the whatever the mission was that was happening on it would have been done. And that was fine for me, but it got to the end of the game where there's a couple of side quests leading up to the final chapter of just the main storyline, where literally it was a 22-hour clock.
On the game.
On the background board that would prevent you from entering the next stage. That type of gating to me as a mechanic is completely evil.
Right.
Like, it, there's nothing about that that's gratifying to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like turns into like Madden or something, like season play, or, you know, like, and you have to wait for a season to like,
yeah, it's like, oh, I'm all done, I guess I'm done for today because I gotta wait until tomorrow night at 9:30 to check in on my forward table.
Yeah, you might as well just play fantasy football or something. You know what grinds my gears? And this is more, it's more the when you're getting into character management.
Okay.
Sort of like Clash of Clans, but, you know, any of these like spreadsheet games, you know, having to like check in at like, oh, I got to check in at like 4 o'clock to like crunch some numbers and like move, bonus up my juice and whatever that is.
It sends you the little push notification.
Yeah, like, you get the push notification.
Hey, you can double your juice right now.
Yeah, you got gems waiting for you. Double your money bucks, mafia man. You know, like,
yeah.
I played a lot of these games, and I, to the point where it's like, if I get a whiff of like character management in a game, it's like, nope, don't want it. Like, and even, I'm even like, crafting is kind of bothering me too.
Oh, really?
The Long Dark has crafting, but it's a very good amount of crafting, not like, again, Rust that has a bad amount of crafting. But
did you have to craft the rock that the guy beat you to death with?
Pretty much. It's just, or you have to like
gather dirt,
get 10 rocks to make a grinder to, you know. I think people like just bolt on this character manager just because they know, you know, things like fantasy football or things like Madden, you know, coach mode, or I mean, even just, you know, straight up World of Warcraft or something like these, they know that these are kind of addictive because you're like putting all these sunk costs into like managing this person. So you're going to keep coming back if you like have this like responsibility basically to manage, you know, it's like, I have a job. I have like a job that I work at a lot. So I don't, like, why do I keep signing up for these games that give me another job?
They give you a chance to manage something.
It's like
something else that needs
to be a managing. Dirt farmer, a fantasy manager. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just, why would I give myself more work? That's what I don't understand. And I like careers and progressions, you know. I'm D&D positive. I think that goes safe to say.
It's not so much about like managing a character in the art in like a role playing context. It's just like a game that requires you to helicopter mom it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's just, yeah, like I have to like helicopter this game to
make any progress.
Yeah, to like make sufficient progress or you know, keep the dopamine going. To me, I feel like that's,
is it because it's invading your time?
Yeah,
it's like, it's when I turn you, when I turn the game on, that's when I want to engage with you. But if you're like bothering me outside of that time,
yeah,
you don't want to deal with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, so this is maybe controversial.
Okay,
is your show prepared for controversy? Is this
based on the listenership? Absolutely.
Okay, Final Fantasy VII. I've never played it. List of shame. Okay, got it on my phone, which is I don't know.
It's a little rough, but
it's a little rough, but it's about the speed of a PS1. So it's
sure.
Maybe okay. This game is good, and it's like a classic, and I know I have to play it because it's the classic, dude.
Sure.
It's dude, you haven't played Final Fantasy VII? Dude, you gotta play, dude, it's the classic. So I'm trying to play it, but the problem I'm experiencing, and I don't know if this is me being a wuss or what, but it's when I fire it up, I don't know how long the next like instance is gonna be. Oh. Like, is it 2 days long? Like
in terms of for you to get from where it is to the end of it,
like,
essentially?
To like crawl through the next whatever
chapter or whatever
instance, we'll call it like D&D style. Like,
yeah.
How long does that take, you know? And I never know. So it's, I don't fire it up because it's like, I'm maybe a quarter of the way through it or something. I just got a chocobo, wherever that puts me on the game.
Where are you? I mean, this is a tangent we can talk about.
I got my first chocobo. It's great. I outran a snake. Why are they so hard to catch?
This is a great topic for...
It's the worst form of public transit.
Riding a giant belligerent bird. You don't think that there's any merit
there? You have to woo with grass after you defeat enemy. No. I'm just saying.
They're impractical, but they're so adorable.
They are adorable.
Theoretically. Yeah. I mean, the Japanese believe that they're adorable, and somehow they've perpetuated that truth.
Like 8 foot tall beaked
animal? Like an ostrich, but like, less ugly.
With a more powerful beak than an ostrich. A little more aggressive, a little more... Yeah, that'd be frightening.
A little more marketable.
Yeah.
Dave, thank you so much for chatting with us about your experiences.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. If you're somebody like who deals with this, definitely, like, I don't know, send me your game recommendations or whatever. You can gift me on Steam, DavidTron 5000, but I will not have time to play these games. But so don't do that. But I am like kind of in the process. I'm going to like build out a little gaming rig, I think, and kind of like just so when I can like fire up a game and actually like get the GPU fan going and just, oh no.
Well, it's going to have to be a really big game now, because, you know, them sexy new 1080, at the time of recording, the sexy new 1080 GTX 1080s are, you know, that whole Pascal thing, it's just like, it looks crazy. Like, you may never hear a fan.
I believe they said it's an irresponsible amount of power. So, looking forward to it.
Looking forward to having that in the family room.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on the show, and we appreciate you giving us your free time.
Thank you.